May the Lord Jesus give you his peace. We celebrate the feast of great Saint Andrew. There was a story of two friends going fishing at the end of a pier, and one who was about to cast told his friend to move back a little bit. The other friend was at his tackle box, and he moved back, and he went back to cast, and the friend didn't move back far enough. And as he went to pull that rod up to cast out, the lure, which is one of those atom poppers that were going blue fishing, went up by the side of that friend's head and actually caught him right in the ear. And he was like, what's going on? And, whoa, goodness sakes. And so we had the fulfillment of the gospel reading of fishers of men, but also that the first reading, the faith comes through hearing. This is not exactly the kind of call that the Lord's working through, but it's at the same time, there is a great reality towards brotherhood in the priesthood. And the Catechism will talk about how we work through our presbyterate and working with one another in communion with the bishop. St. Andrew is the first called. He is among the Greeks known as the Protoclete. He's also a very important touchstone for ecumenism, real ecumenism. Especially with our brothers in the Greek Orthodox Church. He was slain, crucified in Achaia, and tradition has it on a cross shaped in an X. Saint Peter Chrysologus said it was on a tree. Another says it's on an olive tree. But nevertheless, a great love for our Lord on the cross. These are words that are attributed to Saint Andrew. Hail, precious cross, which has been consecrated by the body of my Lord and adorned with his limbs as with rich jewels. I come to you exulting and glad. Receive me with joy into your arms. O good cross, which have received beauty from our Lord's limbs, I have ardently loved you. Long have I desired and sought you. Now you are found by me and are made ready for my longing soul. Receive me into your arms, taking me from among men, and present me to my master, that he who redeemed me on you may receive me by you. This is the tail end, of course, of St. Andrew's life, and it began a little before the reading that we heard in today's gospel, in St. John's gospel, a couple of different calls. The first one in the introduction with St. Peter, his brother Simon, and then later on with a miraculous catch of fish, the parallel is in Luke 5. Whoa, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man, I will make you fishers of men. And that, catching men, is what the priesthood, and especially the episcopacy, is all about. Catechism will talk about the hierarchical ministry of the church with three themes, and it's all encompassed in the sacramental character of this ministry. The name Simon means sign, and sacraments are really signs. They're efficacious signs because, in one sense, this new creation is blooming forth in the midst of the old, and it's almost a hybrid between the two, whereby physicality is sanctified and actually becomes a vehicle for divine realities. The whole ecclesial ministry itself is, of course, conferred by a sacrament, which is holy orders. And so, as St. Andrew is the first call, we also call others to the priesthood. A very, very important call, vocation, that we need to, both for our own part, play a part in giving the idea to others. Because the first reading talks about faith being heard. And if it's not heard, which is incidentally, when we talk about the faith, it's important that we use the holy name of Jesus, because that's the name in whom they're going to believe if they don't know him yet. And so we try to keep that in mind, but also spreading the idea, have you ever thought about the priesthood? I don't mean to make you feel uncomfortable, but I can see you, and perhaps the Lord might be doing that. And each one has to respond in a personal way to our Lord's call in the depths of his heart. A very, very important call. We know Eucharistic adoration has a great deal to do with that in our day, when the body of Christ lifts up in grace those who might not yet have responded to that call. So the sacramental nature of this ecclesial ministry in three parts. And the first part is, in fact, that it is a service. Now, Jesus, who is the high priest, of course, is the suffering servant, and he's the good shepherd. And the Catechism will say this: intrinsically linked to the sacramental nature of ecclesial ministry is its character as service. Just at the end of the year of faith, something to consider whether or not the upcoming year, I don't know that it's been declared anything, but maybe it's a year of service in terms of faith in action, which is good works, and the charity spelled out and actually being a servant. The priesthood is all about that. Entirely dependent on Christ, who gives mission and authority, ministers are truly slaves of Christ. This is language reminiscent, certainly, of Scripture. That's where they're getting it from. Jesus, who took the form of a slave, but also Marian consecration, takes on that form in the language of St. Louis de Montfort of being a slave of Mary. The priest, and you see it in St. Peter at the end of his life, another will gird you and take you where you do not want to go. That's a slave. And because priests are called to be slaves of Christ, the good master, consequently, we're called also to be slaves of all. And that's the demand by which communion is affected, so that inserted right into the heart of the church, there is this bridge. And that's a very exalted call, and it's, of course, a great demand upon one's person. But at the same time, St. Andrew's name means manly, noble, brave, robust. And as the first call, he is a sign of the kind of men that Jesus wants to call to the priestly ministry. There's nothing more noble than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And there are some who have been entertaining this idea for some time. And to respond to Jesus, and if anyone is watching this sermon and zip it over to a young man that you think might have a call, that they too might experience the blessing of being able to be called to the ministry to serve Christ as a priest through you. The Catechism will also talk about the presbyterate in terms of a college. And of course, this is the college of bishops. And there's also a college of priests working in union with the local ordinary. Because Jesus, of course, instituted this whole thing. And it's a recapitulation of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 foundation stones, which are the very foundation of this new edifice, which is Christ's church. We read about it in the book of Revelation, these 12 stones. Now, Jesus, of course, is a wise builder, and he counts the cost of what it's going to take to build. We, as Franciscans, are called to rebuild the church. We also must take stock of what it costs to build or rebuild the church, and that is basically the grain of wheat falling into the ground and dying. And to be able to be willing to do that is part and parcel of the priesthood, so that truly we can be part of a foundation of something very, very precious in God's sight. And that is the reorientation. The priest faces no longer the bridegroom, but in the person of the bridegroom faces the bride and looks her square in the eye, recognizing her beauty, and is willing to lay down his life for her. That's the priest. That happens on an ontological level, which means his very being is reordered to face the body of Christ, Christ faithful, to recognize the beauty inherent therein, which is the very life of Jesus, and to be able to offer one's life for her. And that, again, like St. Andrew, is something that is very part and parcel of the priesthood and also of the nature of manhood. So Jesus calls men to do this. Lastly, is that the ecclesial ministry has a personal character. That is to say, Jesus calls personally. He looks at the priest and he calls them to his service. Follow me. Because the priest has experienced Jesus personally, he also will bear a personal responsibility. Reading a book recently called Will Many Be Saved? And Jesus entrusts to each priest souls. And he asked that same question, will many be saved of those that I have trusted to you? That is a great responsibility because it's not just a social function, it's not social work, it's salvific work, it's the work of a priest. Consequently, counting the cost beforehand, you're willing to spend your life so that that gets done. That's the whole reason for the priesthood, getting souls to heaven. Will many be saved is a question of personal responsibility of each priest, not so much to be popular, but to give hard truth, saving truth in charity. So priests are for other persons, and consequently a priest acts in the person of Jesus. I baptize you, who am I? I absolve you, who am I? Well, of course, it's not the I of the priest, although he says that I, it's the I of Christ. Christ is the author of all these sacraments, these divine realities that are breaking forth into the new creation. So again, spreading the call. We are limited creatures, but at the same time, the possibilities are infinite in terms of, yeah, I've been thinking about Jason. I've been thinking about this one, that one. I think you might have a call. Talk about it. And let Jesus operate through faith, which comes through hearing, that you might play a part in making a fisher of men.
Christus.